Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
That all sounds so fancy. I'm here like in my jammies with my hair on top of my head watching it snow here in Maine. And our guest is coming to us from Texas. We have Kelly Smith, who is the founder of Be Brave Coaching. You can follow along on her website if you want to at bebravecoaching.org. Kelly, I think I got that right, this time?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show today.
Well, this is fun, especially ahead of Valentine's Day. Who couldn't use a little bit of relationship coaching prior to, you know, to the big day, February 14th? So Kelly is with us. She's a relationship coach, and she's the author of the memoir Signs in the Rearview Mirror. Boy, Kelly, I'm going to have to talk a little bit. I'm going to read that again. She's the author of the memoir Signs in the Rearview Mirror. That is a really hard word for me for some reason. Leaving a Toxic Relationship Behind. Basically, what we just want you to hear. Just don't even listen to me. Let's listen to Kelly. Kelly, welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much. Appreciate being on your show today. Thank you.
Yeah, and how's it going with your own podcast? It's called Let's Get Wicked Deep, a dating podcast. Love it.
Yes. Thank you. It is going really well. I really enjoy doing the podcast. I put on my show. I'll have different relationship coaches come on. I'll have, you know, different topics. I did a breakup series recently and how to get through it. So it's a really great go-to place for any kind of relationship needs in any way, shape, or form, actually, for both men and women.
Yeah, that's important, too, because it's not just women out there. It's guys who need the help, too. And you blog, too, correct?
Yes, I do.
And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been writing for Elephant Journal and Huffington Post. I write about signs of toxic relationships, how to know if someone might be toxic, how to walk away from something. I also love to talk about dating healthy. Dating healthy is something that I don't think we talk about enough. We talk about dating and the do's and the don'ts and the height requirements and the hair color requirements while we're dating, but we never really talk about what healthy dating actually looks like. So I love to talk about that and spread a little bit of my knowledge around to others who don't really know what that looks like.
Yeah, I would love to. Now, you, as we were talking about you coming on the podcast, you were going to give us some healthy advice for, I can't remember what you said specifically. Was it just general relationship or were we going to go right to dating? What were your 5-10 little things to watch for going to be about?
For when we're dating and when we're on our first date. So a couple things to look for when we're out there, when we're sitting across the table from someone, either at dinner pre-virus or on a Zoom call post-virus, kind of things that we can look for, things that we can listen for to really figure out who the person is across from us without having to interview them. So I'll just give you a few of the red flags that are definitely out there swimming around. The first thing on a date that you really want to listen for is signs of jealousy. And it's interesting because, you know, we're told to listen for these signs, but how do we know if someone's jealous? How do we know if someone's going to be controlling? Well, we ask certain questions when we're trying to get to know someone. A big question to ask someone is, what happened in your last relationship? And it's very important to point out that we don't want to ask these questions in a way where someone is feeling like they've just been arrested and they're being interrogated. So, you know, kind of working it in, what happened in your last relationship and listening to their response is going to tell you a lot about who the person is. So if you're sitting there and someone says, well, my ex was mean and she was terrible, she didn't do nice things for me, and they bash the ex, that's a huge red flag. That sounds like someone who can't take accountability. However, on the other side, if you hear someone say, well, these are things that he or she did, but these are also the things that I did, someone who can take accountability is usually a sign of someone healthy. So asking how the relationship ended, asking different questions about that is going to definitely help you to figure out who the person is. So we want to look out for any kind of signs of jealousy. We want to look out for someone that you just met who's questioning who your friends are. If you're a woman and they're asking you if you have male friends, some form of jealousy like that, that's going to lead down probably a very toxic road. Control is another one. How do we spot control on the first couple dates? Somebody who is rude to a server, that's oddly enough a sign of someone who can be controlling, someone who kind of directs you to what they want you to order off of a menu is another sign.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I have a thing that I always say about when you're out for, you know, I think one of the reasons why people take people out for lunch or dinner or whatever when they're first meeting people, especially in a work environment or whatever, there's always a lunch or dinner usually, not always, but usually, because I always say however they are to the server is probably how they're going to be to me and, you know, give it 30 days, 60 mm-hmm. days, 90 days. However they act is the way they're going to be toward me.
Yes, and you know, and you're so spot on with the 30 days. The 30 days seems to be when the skin comes off, or the mask comes off, where people start to get a little bit more comfortable around you. So within the first 30 days is usually when you see, like, what the person is really made of. Another sign I think you can really look out for within the first 30 days is somebody who is trusting you too soon. Because we all want trust. We all want honesty. We all want someone that is going to be able to open up to us extremely easily and we can feel comfortable with them. However, with that said, trust takes time to build. Trust is a foundation of your relationship. And as we know, when we're building a house, the foundation is the first one and it's not put up in 5 minutes. So learning how someone trusts is a huge way to look at it. So trusting too soon, if someone says to you, I've never felt like this before, I can tell you anything, and they start opening up to you about every aspect of their life, and you haven't even had, you know, your second drink yet. It's like, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? You know, why are they trusting me so soon? So that's one thing that happens too fast is the trusting and then the wanting to get into a relationship. Wanting to do that too soon is also a sign of this may not, you know, they say when things start quick, they end quick as well, and it's very true. So looking out for trusting, looking out for someone trying to get into a relationship, someone who's controlling, someone who's jealousy, those are all things that we should be looking for when we're first getting to meet someone and getting to know someone. And asking the right questions is going to help you.
Let me ask you a question. If you're sitting across from somebody mm-hmm. and you're looking for all the bad signs, you might be seeing things in people that aren't there or whatever. You just never know. But I mean, what about looking at the other person across the way from you and with a different lens of what's positive about them? Can you do that as well and talk about things to look for that are just wonderful?
Oh, absolutely. So I think before we start dating, we need to be healthy, right? So if we're a healthy person and we're sitting across from someone, we can look for the good things, the positive things, and then also take note of the stuff that might be a little fishy, that might be like, oh, like that's a really weird thing. Like, for example, if we're sitting across from the table and we'll just say I'm on a date with a guy and he's having great conversation and he's, you know, being really nice and he's talking about his job and he's independent and he's motivated, but then the waiter comes by and he yells at the waiter. So we can notice all of these things about him that are really great. But they're also taking note of the stuff that's not so great, stuff that we want to, like, pay attention to. Sometimes we can have an amazing first date, and then one thing might pop out. For example, you may be on a date with somebody, and at the end of the date, he may say something during conversation like, oh, I like to fight, like fist fight. And it's like, whoa, that's kind of a red flag. Everything was going really well until he said this. So I think it's when we're healthy and we're ready to date, then we're able to do both at the same time, where we're able to not focus solely on good or solely on bad. We're able to take it all in at the same time and make the best decision for ourselves at the end of the date.
Yeah, no, I like that. Do you have any other tips of things to look for Just a few more, maybe? We've got some time here.
Yeah, definitely. I think paying attention to how someone talks about their family and their friends, how they mm-hmm. get along in their relationships, whether it's previous romantic relationships or it's work relationships. We don't want to end up with a person who is always playing the victim. Somebody who says, my ex was horrible to me, my parents were horrible to me, or somebody who talks about work and they say, if it weren't for my rotten boss, I would have gotten that amazing promotion. So we need to look out for people who are carrying the negativity constantly, or some people who are looking to be rescued or to be saved. So those are definitely some things that we want to make sure that we don't get involved with. It's great to sit with somebody who feels secure and happy, and we all have bad days. We all have a period of time in our lives where things just seem to be kind of crazy, but that doesn't consume our entire day. It doesn't consume our entire lives. So making sure we pay attention to the victim, to the person who just can't seem to get a break, to somebody who, you know, goes out maybe way too much, meaning drinking a lot, kind of, you know, doing that whole thing, because that's something that happens a lot on dates where people will drink and then it just kind of keeps going, carrying on. They can't contain themselves. Right. That's like another thing to kind of look out for is how they are on the date exactly, you know?
Yep. Exactly. So like some of the patterns of addiction or, other things might come up lightly during mm-hmm. dates that you might just see hints of it. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So, okay. Well, thank you for that. And let's, before we go, let's go over to your book for a little bit and talk about Signs in the Rearview Mirror, Leaving a Toxic Relationship Behind, because you're the author of this book. It's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
So tell us all about your book. Yeah.
So, Signs in the Rearview Mirror, Leaving a Toxic Relationship is, in my opinion, of course, I feel a great book for multiple people, for people who think they might be in a toxic abusive relationship. It's great for people who know someone who's in a toxic relationship, and it's great for people who have either just gotten out or would like to get out of something that's toxic. So Signs in the Rearview Mirror is my story of experiencing toxic relationships in three different ways, with growing up, with myself, and then with my abusive ex that I was with for a while. And I talk about how and why I got into a toxic abusive relationship and why I stayed for as long as I did. And then I also go over in great detail how it was that I got out and then what life looked like after I left a toxic relationship. So I have heard from people that have had people in toxic relationships, and they didn't understand why they stayed or how they got in. Because as you know, we always hear the same old, why don't you just leave? Well, in this book, I go over exactly why you can't just leave and how difficult it is and how manipulation actually begins before the relationship even begins. So it kind of gives a good step-by-step on how manipulation works, why someone stays, and how it becomes difficult to just leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and we're going into the realm of the domestic violence, and I want to make sure that we mention that. And if anybody listening, sometimes people might be listening, I want to make sure that we give out that phone number and so forth so people have it. I believe it's 800-799-7233 or 799-SAFE. And so I just want to make sure that people have that if they're listening and so forth. So do you have – how hard was it to – I got just personal questions. How hard was it for you to write that book? Like that's some raw honesty right there.
Yes, it was excruciating. It was painful. And this is going to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound, but it was almost as if I was summoning a demon to come out of me. So when I wrote this book, I was living with my kids, but they were with their dad during this time, and I would write during the night. And I spent plenty of nights alone screaming and crying because you're reliving everything. But not only are you reliving the stuff that happened within that toxic, abusive relationship, but you're now seeing it through healthy eyes. So when I was crying, when I was screaming, I was crying for the person I was when I was in that relationship because I was now loving myself and I cared about myself. So it was very difficult to relive so many parts of that. And the most difficult part to relive and to write about was what my kids saw me go through. Yeah. And that is something I think will probably stay with me for the rest of my life.
Mm. How did so I have a couple more questions around the how the and again you can take a pass on these if you don't want to talk about them or if you want people to read the book or whatever, but we have questions that came in, and one of them is, how did you leave, how did you get help, and how did you heal?
Oh, I love those questions. So when I left, I had made the decision to leave. I made the decision that this has to end. So if you do read the book, you will find that the end of this abusive relationship ended in a love triangle, which is not uncommon. So at one point I was like, I cannot do this anymore. And I got all the strength that I could and blocked him on everything and just walked away from it. But it wasn't easy. It was after a failed attempt. So when I finally did, it was like I had this massive loss. Like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have an identity anymore because my identity was stripped away from me during this relationship. So in a sense, I had to rebuild. So there was a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who had told me about this recovery program called Celebrate Recovery. And Celebrate Recovery is an international program. It's like a 12-step program, and it saved my life. Or I attended meetings. I had a sponsor. I talked to my therapist, and it was in Celebrate Recovery where I learned about my own toxic traits that I carried with me, where I could heal from that. I could heal from the stuff that happened in my childhood with my parents, which is also in my book as well. So it was very difficult to go in week after week and show up and expose the bad sides of me. And then it finally, everything everything came out at one point where all the bad stuff just came out, and then I had to kind of go through everything and pick the good stuff to put back in, and then I had to live. I had to live the life of a person in recovery, and it was excruciating. It was, painful, but it was also the best thing that I had ever done to myself.
Thank you for answering you answered all of those questions with that. And we're grateful for your raw honesty. One of the things that Chris Fuller and I have this year is a platform called Incredible Yes. And this is the moment where you said yes to something, yes to yourself, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say in your life are some of your incredible yes moments?
That's a great question. I think an incredible yes. I feel like, in a sense, my incredible yes, they came to me in a different way where I wasn't expecting to say yes. So I'm just going to throw this one out there. I did have my oldest son as a teenager when I was 17. And that was an amazing decision that I made to keep him and have him. So that was a great decision. I also feel deciding to get out of a marriage that wasn't great for me or my ex-husband was also, a great thing to say yes to. And it was tough, but at the end of the day, it was amazing. But I think the most important, incredible yes that I've ever had was choosing myself, choosing myself and getting help and getting recovery and saying, you know what, I deserve better than what I've been through for a very long time. And then helping others with getting through their either toxic relationships or just unhealthy relationships, and then being able to accept who they are and live a happy, healthy life.
Love it. So we're really grateful to have you be with us as a speaker on the Global Summit, which is besteveryou.com/Global Summit. I think you're on the February 26th day, the second speaker, and I can't remember your exact time. Is it 3 or 5? I can't remember. I'm going to get that wrong.
Three.
Okay, Eastern time. And we're just really grateful that you're here with us, and thank you for being so open and honest with us and sharing your life and your book and what you've been through, and also where you're going. I think that's really what's most important as we leave this phone call. What are some of your goals for the future as you continue to heal, continue to grow, and continue to talk about relationships with people?
Well, I do have my second book coming out. It should be out, I'm hoping, in March. And that second book is all about recovery, exactly how I break everything down. And again, I expose every ounce of me. And as I was writing it, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this again, because it's a lot to put out there. But I talk about my recovery. I talk about unhealthy dating. And then I talk about healthy dating. And then I walk the readers through your first healthy relationship after a toxic relationship. So I really hope that I can continue to help people to understand and to realize that even though they've been in something abusive and something toxic, that it is possible to heal, to recover, and it is more than possible to be loved again in a healthy, happy way.
Beautiful. I'm just going to leave that right at that. Be loved in a healthy, happy way. Love it, Kelly Smith. Thank you for being with us. And we look forward to having you at our summit. And everybody, you can visit BeBraveCoaching.org for more of Kelly. And again, her book, the link to the book is right with this show. So thank you for being here. Really fun to get to know you.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was such a great time. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Take care. And thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.